usually think that folks who are obsessed with the income of the guys they date are tacky, dismissing them as gold diggers. But one of the most common reasons couples break up is because of financial hardship. More money brings more problems, but being broke ain't one of them.
Joining us today is the human Ken doll, Justin Jedlicka, who, despite his humble origins, personally financed all his plastic surgery and recently married a very wealthy man. Also joining us is Jeremy Force, who works as a male entertainer extraordinaire and model in Pittsburgh.
Listen as we take you through the steps on how to catch yourself a one percenter when you're one of the 99%.
Plus, Madonna to perform with Miley Cyrus for MTV Unplugged.
Rolling Stone puts Pope Francis on their cover.
And Ritanya Alda, the actress who played the personal assistant Carol Ann in the movie Mommy Dearest, says Faye Dunaway is a bigger monster than Joan Crawford ever was.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Marry a millionaire? Here's a short answer. Be a millionaire. You make sure you married him because you're in the wedding, right? People fall in love with folks who travel along the same circles. And if money is your concern, the best thing you can do is hang out with people who make a lot of money. Joining us today is the human Ken doll, Justin Jedlicka, who, despite his humble origins, personally financed all his plastic surgery and recently married a very wealthy man. Also joining us is Jeremy Force, Justin's best friend, who works as a male entertainer extraordinaire. You can read between the lines there. And as a model, in quotation marks, in Pittsburgh. Now, before you dismiss these two guys as being superficial, keep in mind that the number one reason why couples break up is not infidelity, but financial hardship. More money brings more problems, but being broke ain't one of them. Welcome to Feast of Fun, Justin and Jeremy.
Hi, how are you? Thanks so much for having me.
So, Justin, you are a successful gold digger. Jeremy, you are a gold digger in training.
Yes. He's showing you the ropes.
You said it, not me.
I love ropes.
So, tell us, how did you come to meet your husband, Justin?
Oh, well, I met my husband, you know, I don't know. I've always been attracted, I guess, to a little more mature men. I didn't come from a household where there was lots of business going on. We were blue collar all the way.
So you're coal miners.
When I...
Essentially speaking.
Basically. And
going down that dark tunnel.
thanks. Well, you use a positive when you can.
Yes.
I ended
you
up,
get a little dirty, honey, but you get a lot of gold, too.
I wanted a mentor. I liked having a mentor as a partner. Or someone else who could teach me something. And so I felt like I knew I wanted a certain lifestyle, and it wasn't necessarily going to come with me just hanging out with my friends at the bar. I mean, that was sort of the life that I knew, and I needed to get out of that society. I needed to try to class jump.
Was it important for you in picking a romantic partner to marry somebody who had a lot of money?
I had set a standard for myself that I wouldn't date anyone unless they made at least $1 million a year.
Now, people are listening to this right now are clucking in distaste.
Saying, that's not that much money nowadays.
You cheap, hussy, superficial. Oh, my God. Who does she think she is? What do you say to them?
I mean, I think that money can alleviate a lot of stress in a relationship. And I think that majority of people, I like to say as a gay individual, that they get dickmatized. And so what ends up happening to you is that, you know, you're led by your emotions, by your hormones, and by the sex. And if those are the things that you choose to pick your partner with, then you're in for a world of hurt, I think. And what ended up happening to me, my first relationship was that way. And it was all about sex. We never talked about kids. We didn't talk about business. We never talked about finances. We didn't talk about our goals long term. It was just kind of like, this is the cards that were dealt. This is the butterflies, the first time I had ever had them. And this is what love was supposed to be. Well, that's what the movies teaches you. And I don't actually believe that that has a lot of validity in keeping people together. Moreover, I think it can cause a lot of problems. For me, being with someone that was my own age was problematic because we were competitive all the time, and the same things that validated me, the attention at the bar, attempting to try to feel pretty all the time and still get your shits and giggles from, came from the same place. Our peer groups were so similar. The validation points were the same all the time. So to be with somebody who was a bit more mature and older, they were already pulling from their success in their business as their validation point versus trying to feel pretty and get their accolades from being someone who was attractive, I guess.
You met him at like the French Riviera or a circuit party? Where'd you meet him? Where can I get myself a rich man besides Mark Fielding?
Online works good, but I think that, I don't know, you have to go out and you have to put yourself in social spaces.
Answer that question.
I met my husband in London, actually, of all places. Okay. I relocated.
At a nice nightclub in London.
Exactly, in Soho.
So the first thing is, if you got to pay a lot of money to get in there, chances are there's going to be people who don't blink or think twice about paying a lot of money.
That's true, but you also, I didn't want to be someone that was that socially involved in the scene that I knew that they could, that they knew they could get with any 12-year-old down the road because they had cash.
Was so it a gay bar? Was it a straight bar? Was it a nightclub?
Because you got a guy who had just recently kind of wasn't even out, right?
My husband wasn't even out, and I seem to have this track record of being with men that were considering themselves straight. So, but I liked that because I felt like that chivalrous behavior where they had already been trained by their girlfriends, by their wives. They had already learned the ropes of being somebody who was going to open your door for you, help you carry your bags. And they liked to be that supporting, in my view, masculine role, typical, stereotypical masculine role in a relationship. And they liked that. And they wanted a quote-unquote housewife. They wanted someone who was going to be there to support them, travel with them, and didn't want somebody who was going to be nailed down to a full-time career.
Okay, your best friend here who's visiting you, Jeremy Force, is nodding in agreement enthusiastically. Now, for people who can't see Jeremy, you can go to our website, feastoffun.com, and look at photos of Jeremy. He's very handsome.
Oh, yes, abs that go on forever.
Abs that go on forever. He looks like a Glenn Hansen cartoon character. Those muscular, really attractive guys with high cheekbones.
You guys are so sweet.
You know, he does Chelsea Boys. He's, you know, you've seen his Glenn Hansen's work. You look like a Glenn Hansen cartoon character come to life. And you're agreeing very enthusiastically with that money is very important to you in dating or finding a romantic partner.
I wouldn't say money's not so important. Money doesn't buy happiness, but stability makes us comfortable. And it's not bad to, like, want a lifestyle that is comfortable for yourself or that you want certain things. And it's not our fault that everything's always glamorized and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, none of us want to stress about the little things in life. And if money's one of the things that makes it easier or like makes you not have to worry about things, I don't see why it's such a bad thing to like want someone who can make your life what you want it to be.
But just as easily as most people will set out looking for a partner saying, I want blue eyes, you know, blonde hair. I want girls typically say, I want a guy that's taller than me. So when I wear heels, it's fine. That's when you go to matchmaking services, and believe you me, I've been to plenty of them before.
Tell us about
I nailed down
one
my
of the
husband.
Ones you went
you
to.
Went to one that was like the millionaire matchmaker, not Patty, but it was like gaymillionaires.com or some, I'm not sure exactly the name
of it. Was it a New York based one? Or
well, I can't really tell you. No, I'm not. But
I've been to
several millionaire matchmaking services.
To clarify, it branded itself as, we're going to hook you up with a millionaire that's gay. And you went for an interview, and what did they ask you?
And you didn't even share the contact.
They asked me everything under the sun as far as if I wanted pets, what did I do for my job, how much money did I make. You could answer the questions whether or not you were active or passive, but you didn't have to. They asked everything you could possibly think of about your family status, where you wanted to be, where you saw yourself in 10 years. And the one thing that they left out, I felt like at the end of the day, was sort of, you know, well, what is it that you have as a stipulation for somebody else? For me, it wasn't necessarily whether someone had, you know, was a dark-haired person or had an 8-inch penis. Like, it was more about the fact that I knew I was comfortable. When you're comfortable with somebody in a financial setting, what you end up having is more time for the two of you to bond and work on things. And if you have that time together, that's what's optimal.
So you ask them, how much money does the guy I'm going to go on a date make? And they laughed you at you. They were like, get out of here.
They said, you're looking for an arrangement. We're not that type of a service.
But isn't the site like branding itself millionaires, gay?
Trust and believe. Totally. Yeah, no, exactly.
So you could have been hoodwinked into wasting your time on somebody who makes only $80,000 a year.
I spent a month now. Scum!
What blue collar?
We spent that in a month. At this point.
I'm so done.
But I couldn't. No, I can't. I couldn't. I didn't want to subject myself to that. And I had. I tried that when I was young. I just. Okay. It didn't work well for me.
So do you wouldn't recommend a dating service like Patty Steger from Millionaire Matchmaker?
My partner has actually used services similar to that before when we had separated to try to meet other people. And I think it can be a useful tool, but I also think obviously for someone to sit there and say I don't want someone who wants me for my money, and yet you're having someone fit you up with people based on the fact that you are a millionaire, it's kind of
now when you have those millionaire matchmakers things, does the poor person have to pay the same fee that the rich person has to pay, or how does that work?
It depends with the service because I was with services where I was willing to pay a headhunter fee, quote unquote, right? I would have paid the headhunter fee to give you want 5,000, you want 10,000 bucks to be able to go out and find me something that's very specific. That's why personally I would employ a matchmaker. Now, whether you're looking for the sexual point of it, someone who is on the attractive level or on the career, whatever you deem in the hierarchy of something that's special to you, that's why you hire someone to provide someone detail oriented. If I just wanted someone that was like brown eyes, brown hair, 5'7", I mean, I can get a manhunt. You know, it's not a big deal.
When you guys broke up, he went to a matchmaker service and you went to Log Cabin Republican meetings to find. Tell us about that.
Hold on a second. You're not. You're politically, you don't identify as a Republican or as conservative, and yet at the same time, you went said, I bet there's a lot of rich men at that log cabin Republicans meeting.
You guys are horrible. Yes, I did go to the log cabin Republican meetings in New York City when I was living there and I was single. I mean, you find a lot of business-minded people there. I think the Republicans typically have a knack.
I somehow admire your ambition.
I sat through the meetings so I could socially be there in that sort of a situation.
Isn't that going to cause problems? Like, because your husband is involved with the Republican Party here in Illinois, and you guys just had a fundraiser
for the
potential governor candidate.
But equally, so I mean, we're very invested in charities, and so the same things that you would want you and your partner to continue in once you became partnered are the same things you should be doing if you're a single person looking for that 1% on the income level.
But didn't you like participate in the Occupy movement before you got in all this stuff?
Occupy Silicone, maybe.
So listen, guys.
Did the Republican meetings, did anything come of that though? Like, how were the guys?
No, I mean, they were all so cheap, actually.
Oh, really? Why?
No, we all went to the worst places afterwards. I couldn't deal.
I got the guide here from you. I combed the internet. I went to Wikipedia.
Oh, well, that's
and
real.
We have a guide here on how to find yourself a rich man. And we're going to break it apart here for our friend Jeremy Force.
Hey.
Who works as a pole dancer.
Is that your porn name or is that your real name?
No, it's my real name. Everyone always thinks my porn name. My dancer name's J-City.
J-City.
J-City Fresh, because it ain't dirty.
I bet it's dirty every now and then.
Jeremy wants to get himself a quality man.
In the tri-state area.
In the tri-state area.
West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
Let's leave West Virginia out of it.
So, here, kids, home, my advice is find yourself someone who shares common interests as you, and you'll be happy. And
like
happiness
to
and love, you'll always be rich. That aside, if you want someone who's financially secure, let's talk about that.
Okay.
First step is be a rich person yourself, right? Just make your own money.
Like attracts like. So
you can make your money through your marriage.
But if you can
divorce if you want.
We're trying to like give people skills or steps that they can do.
I'm very rich in personality.
I think you have to position yourself well from the get-go. And I think if you can visualize that process, what would the optimal partner for you be and what would that partner want? So someone who obviously speaks and presented themselves well. It doesn't mean you have to spend a fortune on your clothing, but you need to be able to look like you can adapt to different situations.
Well, that step two here is work on your social skills, do interesting things so you are an interesting person, and get yourself in shape, which I think Jeremy Force.
Be seen, not heard.
JC Fit City Fresh.
Oh, wow.
JC Fit City Fresh, you're in shape, you do interesting things.
That's what they say.
You volunteer at an animal shelter and you take care of rescue dogs. And
oh, right, of course. And I have like...
What do you do that's interesting?
And world peace.
Well, and world peace.
On a pole.
Well, me and Justin actually come from very similar upbringings, truthfully.
Humble origins.
Very, 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 very humble. I'm a corn fed. But other than that...
You live in a farm right now.
Oh, I do. Technically, some people call it a farm. I think it's just like a big garden and 27 chickens and humbleness. business, and
you have 27 chickens in your farm that you have to take care of,
and they're organic.
And so this might be something like that Survivor. Might be of interest to somebody. But this is the other step in the process, is just because you're an interesting person who does interesting things, don't mean you're edumacated. Get yourself an education. Learn about history, politics, art, wine, and food, because rich folks like to talk about all this boring
shit.
Honey,
you can pretend to like anything. As long as you nod your head and smile cute, they're okay with it.
But sometimes they'll catch you on it, though. Haven't you ever seen the movie Black Widow, where it's like she learns all about coins because she wants to seduce this guy who's who's like all into coins?
When in doubt,
so you
gotta
find out who this person is, find out what their interests are, and do those interests.
Justin, when you seduced your man, did you guys have heightened conversations about politics, history, art, wine, or food?
Well, seduce is a strong word. I always like to be the person that's being pursued, in all honesty. My husband pursued me. It wasn't as though I did some research on him and I said, this is the one.
But you guys, like, talked about, you know, like, your favorite
films. It was a meeting by chance, by fate. I mean, things did, and they opened up in a natural way. But yes, you're right. Nonetheless, had the cash not been there, I never probably would have given that opportunity to be able to foster itself into a relationship.
Example of like stuff that you're like, oh, he's interested in this. I have to find out more about
aviation.
This.
Aviation. Oh, so anyway, I have to
aviation. He likes to build model planes,
and so he's into aviation
and boats. And you know, so I was like, we're gonna go to the boat show. Let's go to the boat show. So you know, you find out where the boat shows are around the states, and so I made the effort to build us little excursions where we go take vacays, and I'd plan them, and they were sweet things that he was interested in, and I wanted to learn about because that's something that was interesting to my partner. And that's something you can roll over into any relationship, whether or not there's a financial attachment that you're trying to gain from it. But I mean, even though there were things that I wasn't exactly coiffed and I didn't know from my previous life, you can learn from them. And also, everyone has friends that may be in a better standing than where you are. So when you have the opportunity to go out to dinner, try those things that you can't pronounce on the menu. You know, I have a lot of my friends I bring out, and I feel really like I'm very blessed to be able to
take my friends
like 4- and 5-star dining, and go, okay, here's the menu. And they go, girl, ain't nothing here written in English. And I'm like, actually, it's all in English. And to be able to help them take the opportunity to try new things when you have that opportunity.
Cool, it's all in English.
Learn tennis, horseback riding, polo, caviar tasting, croquet, whale watching. Does that help? Is that good advice?
Just dress the part. That's all that really matters, truthfully.
The what part?
Just dress the part.
I don't have to
play tennis, but if I look like a tennis player and you're there, then you obviously think I play tennis.
Is that really good advice, though, just to fake it till you make it?
I think get your stick. Well, this is how many times have I said this on the show. Fake it till you make it. For me, my shtick in getting into that community, not necessarily for my partner, but for the benefit of his friends, my shtick is the plastic surgery shtick. So when I was poor and I had no money, I probably shouldn't have spent that money on my surgery. I did it because in my brain, celebrities had plastic surgery. Rich people had plastic surgery. And while it's a very small part of their life, it is part of typically that upper echelon lifestyle.
Because somebody looks at you and thinks, this guy's rich.
Because he has money to spend on his body, and that's a luxury and not a necessity. And in my life, in that point, it was something that really I never should have spent that money on. But it gave me something to talk to those other housewives about. And so that was something to be able to envelop myself back in that circle again. And they're like, oh, he's cool because he knows this, he knows that. So know something about that group that gives you an edge where people continue to want to go back because you seem open and truthful. And if all you do is put on fluff and air and you don't give anybody a little bit of the dirty, then you're never really going to get in with that group.
So be an
people
expert
want to see
on
you be
something.
Truthful.
Your expertise is plastic surgery.
Definitely.
Okay, so if you have an expertise, Jeremy, what are you an expert on?
I'm just being Jeremy. But
that's not enough. We need you.
That's what they say.
Your rich husband needs you to be an expert on a topic other than you.
Well, my potential husband loves me just for being me.
But see, the other thing is that we're all human beings, and no human being is that exciting.
Okay, well, here's the whole thing. I'm actually like secretly really domestic.
That's
and,
good.
No, I am.
So you're an expert on farming.
Well, you know.
Husbandry.
Well, and I can cook and tell the help what to do, and
he takes the place of the house coordinator.
I'm like, what do you mean?
Is this all this information just being wasted?
No, I think Jeremy is at his heart. He's a great people pleaser, and he really enjoys being an entertainer. So he, you know, somebody who's going to idealize somebody else for their social aspects of what they can bring is really probably his strong point. So you're looking for someone who's probably a bit more of an introvert, maybe even someone who's not out, because what your pull is your social
life.
No,
say. Go for the shy ones.
I'm just very friendly. I'm just very friendly. That's like, truthfully, like a lot of people, like, I'm a social butterfly. Like, I can't stand in a room and not talk to everybody because then I'm just bored if I don't.
I have a sheet of paper. Can you cut it with your cheekbones? Because those are razor sharp. Yeah.
I'm bitter. I never got that compliment.
Because, honey, it's like, your cheekbones are so high. They make Angelina Jolie.
Did you say
cheekbones?
You can write me a check. I'll take one.
Cheekbones are so high, they make Angelina Jolie and Maleficent jealous.
Have you seen those things? They're like CGI to death. Like, oh my God, Angelina, what happened to your cheekbones?
Yes, I want to bring this one up. Desperation. Chill the fuck out, you bitches. Don't be a gold digger.
Truth.
Don't ask them how much money they make. You can sometimes just tell by the fact that you look at their Facebook wall. This is the way I tell if people are rich or not. Is their Facebook wall of them on vacation?
Real money don't do Facebook.
Real money don't have Facebook.
True.
We both agree.
And if they do have Facebook, they will not have it under their name.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No. They don't want to be known for it.
This is blowing my mind. Our entire audience is broke.
Well, and they don't manage it themselves anyway. Like, even I don't even do my Facebook half the time. Someone does it for me.
There are a lot of uber wealthy people. Yes. I was just at a party recently with one of the sheiks from Saudi Arabia when I was in LA last week. Sheik. And we had some amazing people there with homes, you know, in the 60 plus million range. And they, while some of those women, the men typically don't, but some of the women do have Facebook, and it is a way they stay in touch without giving you their number. Don't ask for personal information at a party, by the way, if you're ever at a party with people in a much higher status level.
What do you mean by personal information?
Don't go around and ask for somebody's people's phone number, even if you think you bonded. I've made that mistake before, being a lay person in the beginning, and you will never be invited back to that party with people who really have coins.
Definitely something I've learned from Justin.
So how do you get invited to the party again?
Cards.
If you don't ask them,
you need
a
social
card.
You need a social card, and then say, "I would love it if you contact me. We travel a time with my boyfriend, and we can be in the area with you. I'd love to make time to see you. Here's my card, and leave it up to them to contact you. And if they want to, they will. But for you to put down their information and put them on the spot, not cute.
So you need to be old fashioned. Give them a card as opposed to what most people do, which is text me your cell phone.
Truth.
Okay. Don't be trashy. And by that I mean, don't get drunk or get high. Keep it classy and you get the brassy. Agree or disagree?
Brass ring.
You don't want to let yourself go too far. Far is cute, and people like a character, definitely.
I would say, like, Jeremy, if I saw you high and drunk, it would turn me on even more.
Well, it's just because I have a good autopilot.
Foster, are you a millionaire?
What?
Are you a millionaire, though?
I can pretend. This is the thing. Do you, Jeremy, find, like, guys pretending to be rich or having...
Oh, my God. All the time.
Like, to try to seduce you? Like,
I have this. I have that. If you really have it, you don't talk about it. Let's be serious. You'll show me.
Like, so be like, true power does not have to advertise.
Never.
Well, there's telltale. I mean, if someone's really taking you on a date, and like you should be able to notice a bit, and maybe not always, but if overall the caliber of things that you're doing, like as far as restaurants, as far as the way you're traveling, are you always going economy? Are you always going to places where they're putting you up? Are they putting you at the Comfort Inn suite? Like, or whatever.
Show me what you have, not what you're doing.
You know, the caliber of the place that your boyfriend would typically go to, and know that in the beginning they're always going to exacerbate it beyond. So if you think what they're showing you is a small level, normally they're flossing in the beginning and then they're going to cut it back after, right? They're going to try to woo you, right? My husband calls the woo the window of opportunity. But for me, when it comes down to sex,
he's like,
I got the woo, right? So they're going to throw out those coins to try to get you where they want you. That's the woo, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I want to see what is the woo, because I got to knock it down by about 25%.
Woo is
as good as it will ever be.
Right?
Window of opportunity.
Window of opportunity. Woo.
Woo, woo.
Most rich men want a puppy, not a husband.
They like to feel that they're exposing you to something you've never been exposed to.
Woof. Jeremy, you are.
I saw his tail wag earlier.
I got to tell you, I really enjoyed feeling you up while we were taking pictures.
Oh, what do you mean? I never.
I have to apologize that I'm dirt poor. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support.
Fund us, yay.
So, you know, if you're a millionaire and you want to marry Jeremy here.
Yes, please do.
We'll give you his contact number.
I know how to please
him.
But you got to send, yes.
Honey, I'll give you 20%.
You know, everything.
I don't know about that.
What do you say to people who are just like, you know, you guys are a bunch of superficial jerks I never. Don't make the world a better place, and you're just sucking on someone else's hard work because not you're not willing work. To do what it takes to get, make a career and a life for yourselves.
That's not true, truthfully, because how many people look like us?
Oh, she's horrible.
A lot of people.
I think every relationship has its difficult points, and I think that to say that any partner who stays at home, whether they have children or not, is not acting as a support to that other person who is excelling in their life, it would be completely wrong. You have to take both people in the relationship into consideration, and for one person to exceed, a lot of times behind every famous man or great man, there's an even greater woman. So that person really has a standing and is necessary in someone else's life, I think, typically for that other person to exceed. And whether you're paying that person or that person is your wife, I think that you can act as a unit. And so you have to be able to take all that into consideration and say that each person plays their own part in it. And it's not an easy life for anybody, but it can be made easier if there's cash there as a couple to be able to bond and work things out together and not stress about the finances quite as much as you normally
now,
would.
Now, how do you get the rich guy from like the dating situation to take it to the next level, whether that's like a cohabitation agreement that you're very fond of,
give them
or
buy you a
marriage.
Place
okay, so buy you a place.
Or you, like, you like to say, or marry them, which sounds a lot like bury them. Or murder them.
Well, you know, I mean, whether you're gay murder. Or straight, it seems to be a really big trend now. You go and talk to any family law, they don't call them divorce law attorneys anymore, family law attorney, and you'll see that a lot of people nowadays are doing what's called a cohabitation agreement. And they're doing that after they get into a space where they're in a heavy dating situation, maybe not ready for marriage, or some people don't believe in marriage, gay or straight. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, what you do is you can bark in a cohab and say, okay, I came in with a dog, I want to leave with a dog. Or I gave up my job to be able to help and support you and your career goals, and therefore I would like to know that I have at least 1 year to get back on my feet. Should we eventually separate? And you decide the parameters of what that is, whether you're asking for a place to live to a certain point, price point, whether you're looking for a monthly stipend or an allowance, and or, you know, if you're looking for healthcare, whatever's important to you, you set those things in place, and you make the sell the way it should be made, which is, I know we're in a caring spot in our relationship now. I know you love me. I'm the person who has less, and I'm afraid that I don't feel as stable as I would really like to. And when you see that you sign this and you make me feel whole and stable, therefore, I don't leave after you sign this, then you're going to build trust with that
person.
Now,
do you have to drug them to get them to sign this piece of paper, or how does that? How do you grease that wheel?
Did you say love or drug?
I think you need to find your attorney first. Yeah. You need to have that paperwork worked out and make it as short and simple as possible. Less wordy is better. Don't make people think you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes. Be upfront, open, and honest, because that's really truthfully where you're coming from. You're trying to be somebody that is going to be protected, and your partner wants you to feel safe and protected too. And if they're really somebody that's in it for the long haul and has the intention of being committed to you and not leaving you, they shouldn't have a problem signing that paper.
So, Justin, I need to go like to, you know, taxdocuments.com and download some like prenuptial documents.
Pay for the attorney, Valzo. Pay for the attorney. It'll help. Or call me.
Because they're paying for one, so you should obviously get one too.
Wow. And where am I going to get my... I'm broke. I'm the 99%. In order to nab myself a 1%er...
$500? Go on the street corner. You can make it.
I need to get at least a good attorney to begin with. Here's another thing. Do it while you're young and while they're young. A lot of people say that the reason why fraternities and sororities exist in the 21st century is because it allows rich people's kids to marry other rich people's kids.
It's true. The social networking of college is amazing, and it's something I felt like I always missed out on, not having gone away to college. That would have been the biggest pull for me to actually want to go back, not actually getting the degree.
Or date them.
just to go party with people.
Completely. To be able to make those connections with other people, now having learned that the social interaction is the most important thing.
I would say date them and then marry their uncle or father.
Oh, well, so you did go with the older guy.
Oh, she like the daddy.
Well, the older guys are
Mark's 47
stable.
Years old, and he's swimming in money.
Daddy.
Pennsylvania money.
I'm like, well, I see all this Australian cash all over the table.
Oh, that's from Mel. I got to take that to the bank. Look, it has windows in it.
I know, I saw that. It's so
pretty.
So intriguing.
One of our listeners, dear Mel in Australia, sent us a box of delicious things and treats for our dogs, and cash, which if you transfer it from Australian currency to American dollars,
$5.
It's like $5.
It still doesn't get you a rent
boy. But it's visually really beautiful. It like, is. It makes
the queen's on the $5 bill, it looks like.
But look, let me
see. Also, you can't fake this 50.
It's fun. It's like, it's kind of a conversation piece. And it has like little plastic windows with it, with like windmills and compasses.
We need to learn from foreign money.
Also, you're just showing your ignorance. You're never going to get a millionaire now.
Like, why? Because I don't know how to pronounce compass.
I can't say what's it called. Something about
foie gras, bitch.
Let me tell you, gras. With these gold diggers, you got to keep your Australian currency in check. So here's some things to consider once you're in that relationship and you're going to be marrying them. Wealthy people tend to be Republican, but not necessarily label themselves as conservative. According to a Gallup poll in 2011, politically, the wealthiest 1% of Americans, those in households earning $500,000 or more annually, which you're balking.
You're like, $500,000? Never.
Are somewhat on the right of the remaining 99%, obviously, but in more terms of party identification than professed ideology. 1/3 of the nation's 1% identify themselves as Republicans, 41% as independents, which are people who are still Republicans, but vote for Ron Perot, RuPaul, or Ron Paul.
RuPaul.
And 26% identify as Democrats. So those are people in Hollywood.
You better work.
This is a mirror image of the 99%, which is the other way around. And the second thing is wealthy people are more selfish. So there's a study that they did in California in the same year where they showed pictures of people crying, laughing, being sad, being happy.
Yeah, we've reported on this
before. I get
lots
of emails from people.
Listen to this. Poor, less well-educated individuals, not just the money, but their education levels, tend to notice and care more about the feelings of people around them. Now, wealthy people and people who had a lot of education tend to be more drawn towards themselves and trigger a focus on what other people think about them, as opposed to what they're thinking of other people.
Okay, and maybe I buy that sentiment. I don't know how they measured that. That sounds a bit shady to me. But the thing is, it's the rich people that are giving you all the money to your charities so that they can get a tax deduction. So maybe it's not that they're sympathetic, but those are the bitches that are giving you the cash to be able to afford to put everybody in welfare and get private housing and this mess going on because they want the tax write-off. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
so are they doing it out of generosity or they're doing it because they want to save on their taxes?
Well, I mean, That's a case by case. We partake in charities. Whether or not I can tell you that I'm personally invested really in each and every single one. I need the tax write off, but I'll show up and I'll eat my little food and play my part. But I think to say that just the poor people are the only ones who have sympathy. Well, sympathy is great, but without the cash, those people are still fucking homeless.
But also, I think with the same study is that it also had to do with the class. It was like people that were rich felt more emotion if the other person that's being sad was also rich or of the same class.
Well, I feel like I came from a point where I came from a very poor family, so I have to say that I'm blessed in my life, but I don't have a lot of. It's not that I don't have sympathy, but I feel like everyone else is given tools, and you have to find out what your tool as an individual is. And mine for me, I felt like was a social pull, and equally so, I was born with great genetics, and so I think I looked cute to begin with, even without the surgery. And so that's what I had to work with. I didn't have the money to go to school and become overly educated. I wasn't going to be somebody where I was going to get the Nobel Peace Prize without having any form of a backing. So I had to find someone who's going to back me. And that's gonna better my life and better somebody else's being somebody that's a more forward, open person.
See, I think like we're like they're less sympathetic and whatnot. It's just like you can't pity someone who's poor just because they're poor and you're better off.
Well, they're doing studies and they're looking at somebody and they're like trying to gauge this person's emotion. The rich person just doesn't see that this person's sad, whereas like another person will be like, that person's obviously sad. You know, so it's, I don't know, it's a complicated
study.
But
it's a
situation to be conscious of that the more successful you tend to be in life, the harder it may be for you as a person to be conscious of the happiness and dissatisfaction of the people around you. So if you want to be an effective leader in a corporation, you might want to focus on the empathy, because that is something that as you become more successful, it becomes more difficult to be empathetic.
Interesting point, but I have to say my husband is one of the most caring people to a fault. And I'll tell you, I have a beef with it and a big source of contention a lot of the times because he continually chooses to help people above and beyond where I feel like he should or what is required. So I think, I don't know where that's coming from, but that's not the case in my relationship.
Is he in a position that's leadership or managerial?
My husband's the owner of his business, and additionally, there are other people who are involved as far as partners, but my husband has the only decision-making shares of the business.
And so what I would say is that someone who owns their own business is in a difficult situation, is that they are very financially successful sometimes. Sometimes people who own businesses are dirt poor.
We have huge risk involved.
There's huge risk, but they also need to rely on their ability to connect to their employees, because otherwise they'll lose their business.
My potential husband, lucky me.
if he exists.
No, true story. He's always looked at as being very, very cold, but yet he like continuously gives and gives. And I know that because I know him personally,
sure.
But everyone else sees him as a cold businessman that is always like, well, I'm just going to do that or do this. And, you know, I'm going to pay someone to do that. And I don't really care what you think, but he has to be like that because everyone is always asking so much of him, but he gives so much and everyone's like, oh, well, he's just living such an amazing life. He doesn't really give back to anybody. It's like when actually he's giving, like, if he was me, he'd be giving the shirt off his back. But since he has it to give, it's like, oh, well, then he could do more.
He could give more.
Here's another thing I want to bring up here. In the last 30 years, meaning when we were kids to today, our income of everybody who listens to the show, pretty much every except your husband, has stayed relatively the same. Or even like diminish slightly in comparison to inflation. The disparity between the wealthy and everybody else has grown tremendously. And some people don't think of, I think actually is a problem because it creates political instability in a country. And ultimately, it leads to bigger problems where everybody loses.
Extreme highs and extreme lows are always like a problem in any government.
And I feel sometimes, you know, we can do it by force or we can do it by cooperation. And, you know, you're a good person who speaks the language of wealthy people. Agreed. How do we get wealthy people to cooperate to make the world a more equitable place?
World peace.
I think that's something you actually think about a lot, and you actually do. And you spend a lot of time with wealthy people, and you get them to behave. You change their behavior somehow.
Public schools.
I mean, it's such a
classes.
Broad question. I think you really have to hone in. I mean, you're talking about individuals here. I mean, everybody has to do their part, and the people who have, whether they have because it's family money or they have earned it because they've come from nothing. You know, everyone has their own story, and you have to be able to sort of say, okay, well, I'm going to give back, and people need to be able to help other people. I think everyone has a sympathetic bone in their body, and I don't know, you always felt like life was completely going to be crazy tough and so difficult. And I never could imagine that I would be in the spot that I am in now. But it's only because you envision yourself being in another space. And if you're someone in that lower percentile class where you're in of a lower income bracket, don't let that wall you in. I mean, you have to be able to look outside the box of what your family might have known, and not to say that they're bad or your mom or your dad didn't want the best for you, but that's all they knew. But you have to try to then say, if you don't want that same exact life, you have to go outside and out of your comfort zone to sort of push forward and sort of put yourself in a space that hopefully is going to open new doors for you. But it's only going to come with that. It's only going to come with someone going into a different zone.
How do you
zone.
Come out as being poor or like having humble backgrounds to like a wealthy person or when you're at a party or something like that?
How do I come out?
Yeah.
As a gay male?
Is it harder to come out as gay?
I just show up and start talking.
I grew up poor. I grew up humble. Or like I wasn't always wealthy.
Easier to be gay than poor.
I try to skip that part.
Yeah. You know, actually, we interviewed Chuck Renslow, who ran a gay bath, still continues to this day, run a gay bathhouses. One of the first gay bathhouses in the country. Back in the day.
Not in the country. Not really.
Man's Country was around in business in the 1960s.
Yeah, but bathhouses have been around since like the 1800s.
But still continuous.
Rome.
Besides Starbucks, okay. Man's yeah. Country, and this is a fact, okay. Is one of the longest continuing operating gay men's bathhouses in the country. And he also runs IML, one of the largest sex conferences in the world. And we interviewed him on the podcast and asked him, what brings people together? Is it race? Is it bodies? Is it gender? And he says, the thing that the most important factor in bringing people together is class.
Acting the part really does mean a whole deal. You just need to know how to act classy when you need to and be trashy in the bedroom.
What about knowing your audience is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Because I feel like sometimes, like, you know, like, when I was younger and I would go on dates with really wealthy guys because, you know, sometimes because they had really good bodies. And I'm very much a muscle chaser. Like, I don't care if you're rich or poor, dumb or smart. If you look good, you know.
You got it.
You got my
That's
interest.
How I survived.
And, you know, but ultimately in the long term, it's like, it's common interest is complementing each other that's going to make your relationship successful, regardless of whether you struggle financially or you're very comfortable.
Any relationship's a give and take, truthfully.
And you just got out of a long relationship.
Yeah, right? 4.5 years. I was actually a Stepford wife for like a very long time. Had stepkids, did the whole spiel. Like I said, I'm very domestic.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It's ridiculously fulfilling. But
so you were changing diapers in the morning and then on the stripper pole at night?
No, never diapers. Never diapers. We'd have help for that. But other than that, like, no. And I didn't dance when I was in when I was in a relationship. I just, like, recently started doing that just because, like, I love to be young and cute and on a pole.
What I tell strippers is, like, the best thing you can do is make circles with your body.
Stripper's such a cheap word. I feel
dancers.
Like it's, like...
Entertainers.
I'm like,
do it with their clothes on.
Well, so when you're so sleazy, I think that's why it sounds so cheap.
But you know, you look at a lot of these guys, they're muscular and they can't move with their
but
bodies.
But they're dumb and they don't dance.
They're swinging like
strippers
monkeys.
Stand there and they don't do anything. I'm more of an entertainer. That's why I say entertainer extraordinaire, because like I have a personality. I'm not just a dumb piece of meat that stands there and like goes, yeah, look at me. Like,
I gotta tell listeners, in the first 15 minutes that Jeremy was here. He showed us everything.
Oh my God. Never. Hey, just because you've seen it doesn't mean you've had
and
it.
I really appreciate that.
I like a giver.
Obviously, I work hard for what I have. Why would I keep it to myself?
I appreciate that.
Hey, truthfully, what I live for is I want to be the first universally accepted nude male that's looked at as more of an art piece than I am as like something.
Oh, it's art, honey.
Oh, see, thank you.
I thought that was me.
Well, honey, you're always beautiful.
Well, you're the creator of the art. He's the expression of it.
Oh.
Okay.
I have to go with
as long as we're both there.
It's a difference between and sculpture, right? There's different types of media.
Well, no, I want Justin.
Both can be art.
I really, really, truthfully would love Justin to design my future body.
He wants me to make his pecs.
So oh my God!
So is Justin trying to brainwash you into getting plastic?
Oh my God! Never brainwash.
Has he pumped you?
No.
Well, I would never even do such a thing ever.
Thank you for thinking that he has, but no, he hasn't. And I'm just looking for a husband that will buy me the chest I've always dreamed of.
You can let me tell you, every day, three times, just in the morning, do as many push-ups
okay,
as you can.
Here's the whole thing.
Rest for a minute. Do as many push-ups as you
argument.
Can and rest for a minute. It'll be hard for the first couple weeks.
If Cindy Crawford can do it, you can
Listen,
do it.
Listen, they tell me I could work out for it every freaking day, but if I stopped working out, then I just have man tits. Justin wakes up with his beautiful chest every day and he never has to work out. I just want that chest. I always have abs, but I don't have a chest. If I'd stop working out, then they'd be fly. I'd be nasty man titties. And I just want to be able to have like...
You may not necessarily get to the day that you have the pecs, but today, you don't have to wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning.
Okay, but next month someone could buy me what I need.
But that's a month away.
Maybe. But
maybe.
Within that
okay,
time.
But in a month I can't have the chest I want. I mean, let's be serious. It's like 3 inches off my chest. I'd never have
it.
I'm a Frenchman.
Let's just say for the next year you're not going to meet anybody.
You're a what?
I'm a Frenchman.
Frenchmen don't have chests?
French? Well, let's just say.
I have a chest. I'm French, too.
Oh, daddy. Not all of us can be so fortunate.
Yeah.
No, I mean, truthfully, Justin gets a lot of slack for all the work he's done, but, like, he wakes up every day and he's beautiful. I have to go to the gym to fucking work out. Like,
I would say that Sergei Nurbret, Manu Pluton, Arthur Robin, and Francesca Petitjean, all famous French bodybuilders.
And they're beautiful. No.
Yeah.
I
just Wikipedia'd that.
Damn Wikipedia. Well, you know, it's all true if it's on Wikipedia because I can edit it.
I can win any argument because I have a computer in front of me, people.
No, but But truthfully, like, yeah. I just don't want to, I want to wake up and be beautiful and not have to, like, just like my penis, I wake up and it's there. I just want my chest to be there every day when I wake up.
Okay. I wish you guys the best of luck in your relationships. And just remember, like, you can listen to other shows that Mark and I have talked about how to make your relationship work. Because you can be a slut in the bedroom and make the sex really hot. But ultimately, we're human beings.
Be a lady
and
in
nobody... is that exciting? You have to complement each other and come together with common interests to have a fulfilling relationship.
And even if you marry a rich guy, it's, you know, keeping him because you have to keep the relationship going.
And regardless of what you do, go check Rent, How to Marry a Millionaire, the great movie with Lauren Bacall and Marilyn Monroe.
BitTorrent it.
Or BitTorrent it. People, it is a movie, if you're really interested in marrying a rich man and this is your, you know, life's ambition, you owe it to yourself to watch that classic comedy film. It is wonderful and still holds up years later today. Now, Miley Cyrus has made an announcement that she is going to be having a surprise guest for our upcoming MTV special.
Ooh, and Miley, guess who it is?
Madonna!
Don't let her kiss you, Miley! Because that kiss will drive you crazier.
It will suck the energy out of you, just like it did to Britney Spears, drove her crazy. And Christina Aguilera.
Like, she got so fat and, like, shaved her head after that. I don't really know.
Do you like Madonna's grills? Have you seen them?
Oh, my God. Ugh. True story. Did you see the grills picture? I'm like,
girl. Madonna said that she can actually learn how to eat with those grills on.
Ew.
And she's sure she can eat well.
She wears the grills because they piss people off.
I know, I love it, though.
She's like, if they piss people off, I'm going to wear them.
Well, since Miley Cyrus, that's the reason I say I'm just being Jeremy, because, like, truthfully, Miley, I can't say I'm just being Miley, because obviously I'm not her, but I'm like, people get so pissed off when you're like, I'm just being Jeremy, and they're like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, it means I'm better.
did you catch the Grammy performance of the Masked Gay Wedding? Did you guys see it?
I missed it.
No? Well, a lot of gay people on the internet are poo-pooing it. Ew. Saying it's like, Caswell is appropriating...
Macklemore,
sorry. I get him confused. Macklemore...
Ginger versus blonde.
Macklemore is appropriating gay culture to sell his music. Darn you. And I say, listen, if appropriating gay culture... is the way to sell records, that's a good thing.
That's
a
good thing.
No, I understand what...
Okay. And they say that, you know, that song, that his anthem was, like, really important in Washington State, where he's from, and it really helped get people galvanized behind the whole marriage equality movement there.
Now, Jessica Hallam, one of our guests, said that being gay has jumped the shark.
What's that mean?
Jump the shark meaning that, like, it's been co-opted or mainstreamed so much that being gay is... boring.
Passé.
Did you agree?
No, not
never.
Yet.
Never. We're still better than any straight anything.
Well,
truthfully.
You know what? Rich gay men tend to do it better than rich straight people.
If not, completely, they can pay someone to.
And why is that different? Oh.
There's so many things.
Just like a couple of reasons.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, we're not bound by regular rules and regulations. The morality issues around religion and all of those things that typically pertain to straight life don't necessarily have to come into play for gays. It doesn't mean they don't. But in my sense, you know, I can kind of make my own reality. I set my own rules. Yeah, I set my own boundaries. Yeah. And I don't feel held down to live any particular way, even though that might be the way my family felt. You know, I've learned from a young age that being a conformist didn't work for me.
Never.
And it wasn't fulfilling for me as an individual. So, you know, why even try to fit? So, I go the exact opposite direction and I'm going to try everything I can. And if it works for me, great. If not, fine. But I'm going to at least go there. So I just think it's having a broader spectrum and having a more open mind, then you'll find a lot of straight couples will probably do.
I wish you guys could be here in the room with us. Because Mark just sniffed Jeremy's arm.
Hey,
never.
Does it smell good?
Let me take a picture of that.
Oh my God.
It's like, we're making him sweat a little bit. And then Jeremy responded by licking Mark.
Okay.
Can I watch? Rolling Stone magazine just put Pope Francis on the cover. Don't get too excited because the Boston bomber was also on the cover.
Okay, true story. This Pope is my new favorite Pope in the entire world because he doesn't hate on gays. Well, no, and he's just like, be yourself. It's whatever.
All priests have a hand on
on a boy somewhere.
And other children.
Right? No, but... I don't even know where the hell I was going. Anyway, I love this new Pope. He's way better than all the rest of them because I can't even, like, think about a Pope that I actually like.
Well, he's just like so not venomous, which is exactly the next thing about it. It's like finally, a little breathing room. Thank you for taking your foot off my neck.
Justin is shaking his head.
For the first turn.
You're giving me that black lady look like.
This is one of those things when you're married to somebody who has money, you just step aside and don't comment. I'm just trying to cause no waves.
Is your husband like a...
It's like, my new husband's Jewish.
My husband was brought up Catholic, though.
So
we
he's
don't
very happy
practice.
About the Pope.
We don't really practice. We're not practicing our religion.
But
his family hates my guts enough as it is. They refuse to talk to me. So at this point, I don't need to make any more enemies or make them more angry at me.
Are conservative or Republican gays who grew up Catholic, are they pleased? Are they satisfied with Pope Francis?
All I can say is I will always drink some Jesus blood, truthfully.
As kids, that's the reason why we took communion. For communion. We're like, I don't care what they say. Give me the wine!
I'm like, give me a cracker and some wine. I'm always good.
What else is going on? Coca-Cola apologized for their homophobic Share a Coke campaign.
That started in South Africa, and they've since taken that website down because you could do the word straight, but you couldn't do gay.
Is that over the Olympic stuff or no?
Well, it's kind of like people are targeting Coca-Cola because of the Olympics. This wasn't something designed specifically for the Olympics, but because people are like, their eyes are on Coca-Cola.
Here's the disturbing thing. It's like in Sochi in Russia, there was a guy who like pulled out a rainbow flag like, yay, Olympics!
Arrested him. Immediately.
And the fucking security guards, not even the police, this is like the Olympic security guards with the Coca-Cola logo all over their costumes, go and start beating up on this guy. See, and I'm like, taste the rain, or taste the, what is their slogan?
With Coca-Cola. Taste always better.
But anyways, they're like basically like
I like to buy the world of Coke.
I like to buy the world of police
brutality.
Oh,
yeah, I like to buy the world of Coke, yeah.
So you can't write the word gay, but you could write the word police brutality.
How can Coca-Cola hate on gay community? That's all I've got to
say.
Well,
they actually do, as a corporation, give a lot of money to LGBT charities and causes, but the way they've handled the difficulties and problems of having the Olympics in ultra-conservative Russia with all these anti-gay laws has been really embarrassing and difficult for them and disappointing.
I'm going to guess that the Olympic Committee is learning their lesson. They're like, let's not do the Olympics in any place that's going to be so hateful.
Ever again.
So Olympics will not be in Uganda next year. Just so you know that. The Velociraptor cage where the man got his arm chopped off in Jurassic Park is for sale on eBay with the fresh blood still on it, I've seen.
No, not the fresh blood, but it does have a fake like Velociraptor in there. Right now the bidding is up to $100,000.
Oh, God, I want to marry that man.
A fake one, yeah, in there.
I'm marrying the guy who bought the Velociraptor cage.
You could turn that into like a massive glory hole kind of thing.
I got to tell you the story. I went on a date one time. Back in the days, I'm going to date myself. We didn't have the internet. We had personal ads. And I went on a date with a guy, a rich Texan. Mm-hmm. And I went to his house.
Ooh, oil money.
And in his house, I walked into his house, and he was naked in the living room on a bear rug with a bottle of lube and a bottle of poppers. And on the walls was every square inch was a different animal. I'm talking grizzly bear, moose, snakes, birds, everything.
So he's dating Sharon Needles' ex-boyfriend?
Current boyfriend.
Oh, sorry. Soon-to-be-ex.
And he was like, what? And he looked at me naked and he said, what are you, boy? Are you afraid? And I'm like, yes. And I took off.
Run.
Oh, my God. No, trophy hunters. If I walked into a house and there was that many dead animals from all over the world, I would be like, yes, please. Take me on your expeditions. Like,
but wait, Jocelyn Wildenstein, they have fucking taxidermy all over their whole house. She made herself look like a lion after he shot them all because she said he loves them so much. I want him to be enamored with me again. So I'll make myself look like a lion.
Creepy. Well, you know me and Thundercats. You know, we've been talking about
that. You do love Thundercats. He lives for that.
He likes the second part of the slogan, Thundercats, ho!
So the actress that played Carol Ann in the movie Mommy Dearest has come forward and has been talking about what a nightmare it was to work with Faye Dunaway. And she said that the costume designer was on the set and that she said the woman walked out of her room and said, that woman is on cocaine. She walked off the film midway through and said, I'm going back to New York and not returning because of Faye. I have never walked out of a movie in my entire career. You can enter Faye Dunaway's dressing room, but first throw a raw steak in there to distract her. I never saw the drug use, but I saw the erratic behavior and mood swings, which happened for a reason. She also says that the first day on set, you know, she was playing Carol Ann, is that they cut her original scene because I guess she was like Carol Ann was a fan of Joan Crawford's, and I guess she pulls out like Joan Crawford like pulls over, she's like, oh, it's you again. She's like, I have more autographs for you and stuff like that. And then Joan goes, get in, I have a job for you. And so she just kind of takes like one of her stalkers and gives her a job. But she said that Faye was doing this technique where she was trying to upstage her, where like she didn't want Carol Ann's face on the camera at all. So it was
the
always,
actress who played yeah, Carol Ann.
Yeah. The actress,
not the real Carol Ann.
Yeah. And so like when they were filming the movies, there was always like Carol Ann, you see her back because like Faye was just like, do not show her face.
Because she was covered in powder or what?
Well, she just like she wanted to be the center of attention. And she said that fight scene was really fucking intense and like she really like beat the shit out of Christina.
Well, she's playing a schizophrenic. Christina.
Good for
and
her.
And then she also like she's like Carol Ann got knocked over, and the person that plays the head of Hopper, she also got like knocked over. She's like, I just got out of the hospital. I can't be like beat up like this.
So you're saying that Faye Dunaway was a bigger monster than Joan Crawford ever was.
Oh, come on.
I feel like unimaginable.
But this woman says she was actually kind of like, she did a lot of research on Joan. She was actually a fan of Joan. She's like, Joan had a hard life, and maybe she didn't treat those kids all that well, but they were always dressed nice, and they went to good schools. And so, you know, Christina made a whole life out of, like, making fun of her mother.
That's well, what that's I feel true. About Madonna. It's like, even though I had an urge to eat some fried chicken when she showed up dressed up as Colonel Sanders for that gay wedding. I gotta tell you, it's like she seems to me like a good mom.
True.
And she has a sense of humor, and she plays amazing. With her kids. She spends a lot of time with her kids. She gets her kids involved in what she does. Ultimately, I think that's what a good parent is.
I like her new face work. Really.
What
has Madonna had done?
Ooh, what hasn't she had done?
For sure, face. She's definitely had a facelift, a brow lift, and then at the very
a whole
least.
Facelift?
I think she had a full-on facelift, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
But so people are upset that they're starting to see wrinkles on her face, and I think that's actually a good thing.
Well, when you're 85, it's hard to hide.
And on top of that, she either has a massive amount of filler in the face, or she's had some form of like a Malheur implant, a cheek implant.
Maybe her cheeks just got bigger.
Malheur, M-A-L-A-R. Like a Malheur is your cheek Malheur implant, so they can do a custom piece.
Did he say Malheur like a
doc? I think she had a Malheur implant, because for a while she looked real like robust in the center of her face, and then it died down and everything. You know, looks
settles,
a bit more
right.
normal, right? But I mean, if it was just injection, I felt like I feel like it would move a bit differently with the facial expressions. I just think she had a small cheek implant put in the front too to try to fill out that mass and that she was missing.
Does it look like she had something done under her eyes or no? Because like she looks a little wrinkly in some photos. But I wonder, if some really of the photos really. You see of her online, do people wrinkle her up intentionally? Because like you know, when you have a lot of work done, you don't have wrinkles.
I mean, even
right?
I can have wrinkles if I smile really hard.
Oh my
god, like, yeah,
you know,
okay.
Both of you guys, as much work as you have done,
I never.
As young and gorgeous as you
this
may be,
Jeremy,
every
obviously.
Single person has pores and wrinkles.
I don't
blemishes.
Have pores. Don't tell me I have pores.
Not him. He gets his pores removed. you do get pores removed, don't you?
Like, I
never.
Don't have pores.
I'll have them cauterized. They can't remove them.
And so ultimately, it's like, you know, plastic surgery is an imperfect process. And what Justin does is being on the cutting edge.
He's the reason I look so perfect when I'm older, because he's in the control trial and error ness, so he knows how to tell
so
me how to be perfect.
Studying him to figure out what he does what right and what do. Does wrong.
Well, I'm not studying him, but he is a great mentor.
Oh, I love him as long as he doesn't get a richer husband.
Honey, you can always come to my parties.
Well, you know, who's the most eligible bachelor? Is
It's me. I'm a bachelor. He's married.
Who's the best, most eligible gay bachelor?
George Clooney.
No. Apple CEO Tim Cook.
Oh, he's such a playboy. There's too many. There's too much
do
competition.
Do you know shit about Tim Cook?
There's too much competition. You don't want to play with him.
Listen, see,
he's a playboy?
That's too much. It's
what
too
do you
much.
Mean it's too much?
You hear so much mess about it. It's just...
What do you hear? What stories do you hear?
You just can't... You're not going to be able to compete with all that madness.
Because there's too many hot guys that want his attention.
Well, and additionally, there's too much protection around it. And it's, so if you're legitimately not even in an upper, middle, or upper lower upper class, don't try it. It's too big of a feat to try to jump.
And so back to my original point, the best way to get a rich man is to be a rich man yourself.
Well, if you're blessed or smart enough to be able to be in that situation, yes.
Be born into privilege.
Become a doctor, become a lawyer, get a profession.
Doctors don't make enough money.
No?
Or
no.
Start a revolution. Paint a manifest. Write a manifesto. And change the world. I want to thank Justin Jedlicka, the Human Ken Doll, Plastic Man.
And thank you, guys.
You answer all our questions with such humor and compassion and intelligence every time you come on the show. Even
you're always
even
though, so much fun to have.
You know, and as somebody who faces so much discrimination and harsh judgment for, you know, sometimes listen.
It's hard
I can't
to be
do what you do, and I'm glad that I don't do what you do, but I appreciate what you do.
But I do it for me, and so, you know, I'm just honest to people about why I do what I do and what it gives me, and that's all I can
and
do.
And you have fun doing it, because every time I hang out with you, Justin, I'm always laughing, and I hope the listeners can pick up on that, not think that this is
I don't
is
take
all,
myself that seriously. You know? Yeah, it's my life is not drudgery. I live a great life, and I have a lot of fun with it.
And we also want to thank you, for Justin, for always bringing hot, young...
Importing.
Thank you!
Guys, J-City Friends. Also known as Jeremy Force.
Right, which is my real name, and everyone always thinks it's a porn name, but it's okay.
And people can follow you, like, on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz.
What is it?
JJ Force. It's spelled with an S, not a C. Just like, may the force be with you. I hate
so
that.
So your parents call you JJ?
No. They like call me...
Jimmy Walker?
It's so funny, I'm JJ, too.
No, we're both JJ.
Justin Jedlicka.
See, I'm JJF. Like, yeah.
What are you on Instagram?
I'm going to find you. JJ... Oh, wait, no. Instagram? My first account was actually deleted. It's under my performing name right now. It's called The City Kids.
He was too naked.
It's the T-H-E... Right, I'm dyslexic.
No one's going to be able to follow this,
hey,
kid.
City, right, never, ever. City spelled with C-I-T-I. The City Kids.
If you want to follow Jeremy Force...
Find
just look
at
my
Facebook.
Name. Facebook. Facebook. Jeremy Force with an S.
With an S. Or you could go to our website, feastoffun.com, post the links. If the link's not there, post a comment, and Jeremy will post the link.
And if you're a rich husband, please call me.
But you're difficult.
And if you're a rich husband, material, we want to remind you that Feast the Fun is made possible because of your financial support. And if you like the show, help make it more of them happen. Make a donation, feastoffun.com/donate, or get yourself a fabulous Feast of Fun t-shirt.
Yay! And they're beautiful. Woof, woof.
Woof. You love our dog, don't you?
No, true story. I do love their dog. And they're on the t-shirt, and you should buy them because it says Wolf, and I love to bark at people.
I'm jealous.
Feastoffun.com/store.
I'm really jealous of our beautiful dog, Jesse, who gets more hot guys to kiss him than I do.
I kiss you more than I kiss the dog, that's for sure.
That's about 50-50, I would say. Aww. I mean, he's so adorable.
The dog gave me plenty of tongue tonight.
He does give me tongue.
Maybe you need to provide more of a financial incentive.
I'll just put peanut butter on my dick and Fausto will look
That's how he gets me to swallow all my medication. Yeah, we have to give our dog antibiotics because he got heartworm.
Syphilis.
No. And so, like, we at the beginning, I was just, like, throwing literally the pill into his dog bowl, and he would happily eat it. But, of course, he's gone soft with living a cushioned life here with us.
Damn rescues.
Food and walked regularly, thanks to Mark.
That's why you don't feed the vagrants, because they come back and expect
more.
You
don't have help.
And so we...
look at this place. It looks like we have help.
It's going to look like a maid lives here.
I asked Justin the same thing. I was like, why isn't your help here right now? My glass is still beside my table.
I'm sorry. I don't help every day. I don't have a live-in. I'm sorry.
Obviously, my potential husband's...
J-City, Fresh, you could also, like, get cast in as, like, one of the bullies in one of those, like, mommy...
Everyone always thinks I'm mean, but I'm just being me. It's not my fault that I live out loud.
But it's because you're very attractive.
I just speak what's on my mind, and people hate on it just because, like... I mean, most people are afraid to say what they're thinking, but
yeah.
I just don't think before I say.
Oh, I know.
Take your shirt off. I'm like, I'll be forgiven.
I'm like, what? Look at my abs. Does it really matter?
I'm take another picture
of
that.
My God. They're sickening. Anyways. Even Justin's mad about
Justin's
it.
Justin's like, I want those
no,
implants.
He's here to see me, honey.
It's good. It's like, look at that. You look like, is that crazy? No, wink at the camera, though. There you go.
I feel so Asian.
Oh, I taught him about the winks.
The winks are too superficial. Oh, no, do the wink, please.
The wink is cute.
Oh, my God, I'm melting.
I told you it's a trademark, Justin.
But not for a husband.
He's just mad because he can't wink
as good as me. Jeremy Forrest, Justin Jedlicka, thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow, he's like, these guys are hot.
Michael McBride's coming on the show. He's a personal trainer, musician, actor.
Honey.
Someone told me something about personal trainers tonight. Well,
I'll just tell you. If we don't put out a podcast tomorrow, it's because we had sex with
him. I think he's married. He's a good boy. He plays like the organ at church or something.
So he's going to do a live music session for us?
No.
I can play the skin organ.
I played the alto sax.
Okay, let's see. Hi, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.